This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two of Gwen and Chris. I am neither of those voices. I am Scraby. Chris is out on vacation. Tony's laughing at me in the Zoom camera. But we just got done talking about Chris's tweet. So if you want to, he's telling me to turn something down. There we go. I can't do three things at once. I need my brain to do one at a time. Anyway, we just talked about Chris's tweet. So if you're looking for information, because I got a tweet about it, just go back radio.com rewind in the radio.com app and go to 345. You can hear what we said about his tweet. Breaking news!
You got a tweet about?
I did.
What
we
said about it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. People are not happy with Chris, and I don't blame them. But I mean, don't take it too seriously, people. It's just sports, okay?
You know, it's just sports.
It's just sports.
But I do understand the anger on the, like I said, on the whole.
Oh, when he said it's LA's time.
Yeah, that is like taking the knife and like kind of. Not only sticking it in, but then turning it a little.
Yeah, if Chris were here, don't worry, guys. We would critique him, and we would have told him to take out the LA
100%,
part.
Like, probably could have done without that piece right
there. Breaking news on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Now, Chris is also the main star of this next segment, Chris versus the Fans, but today we're going to get a little Gwen.
Let's be honest. Chris has been rolling you guys here
over the past
couple of weeks. So you guys got to – this is your chance. If you want to win something, you want to enter a chance, you know, this is the chance right now is going up against me. I'm not as savvy on the quiz questions, the sports quiz questions, but – I might be all right. We'll see.
You might be all right. We have actually a really, really awesome prize, a Padres prize pack that includes a Padres hat, fleece blanket, mask, and tote bag courtesy of the San Diego Padres. So let's get started with a little Gwen versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I will be question asker
huh?
today. I was just telling Tony, like, I don't know what's going on. I'm malfunctioning over here right now.
You know, listen, sometimes when you get into that second chair, it starts to rise a little bit.
The heat rises. I realize I didn't have as
it
many
still
questions.
Rises for, it still rises for me, and we're almost like 3 years into this right now. I still have to change shirts occasionally, especially here at home. We get into a hot subject. Or doing a monologue, doing something for the first time, I get a little sweaty.
All right, well, that's why I'm in the job. So I realize I'm still alive because my heart pounds like crazy. Anyway, today, like I said, we're going to go for that Padres prize pack. The rules for the game are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, and this is I'm reading straight off the sheet, and Tony gets the question right, you're eliminated. If Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And it's going to be a little potpourri today. It's going to be a little potpourri. So
it won't just be sports is what you're saying.
Yes, it will not just be sports. So let's get started with our first player, Gilberto. Gilberto, are you there? You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there
How
he
are
is.
You guys?
Okay.
¿Cómo están?
Muy bien, gracias.
Yeah.
You too?
Muy bien, gracias. Go Dodgers.
See, this is why. This is why. This is why, you know, Gilberto. This is why.
Gilberto, I have to take you down today. Let's
go. Hey, guys, I told you. The Padres are number three for me. Because they swept the Astros, okay? And I would love to wear the hat and everything whenever they don't play the Dodgers.
Fair enough. Cool.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Again, potpourri. What university is credited with creating Gatorade?
Wow, you got me on that one.
Wow.
But let's say USC.
USC?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Tony.
Buzzer was kind of weak there, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. There you go.
Tony, do you know what university is credited with creating Gatorade?
I actually do know this one. I believe it's the University of Florida. Gators.
Yep. The Gators is correct. Sorry,
boom.
Gilberto.
Excellent, Tony.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Sorry, Gilberto.
All right. Let's go.
Go Padres, baby.
Last time this guy, he didn't have such a good showing. But I'm going to bring him on because Eric Easy Money is back. Let's go, Easy Money. You think you got what it takes?
You know it.
All right.
Let's do it, Easy Money.
Here we go. Question number one. Easy Money. Anna Faris played a character in what classic horror movie spoof?
Can you repeat that again, please?
Anna Faris played a character in what classic horror movie spoof?
The Halloween one? Damn.
You're close. I mean, it's a horror movie.
Well, I just saw one, and it was La Llorona.
Okay, well, that one is not it. I don't know that Tony knows this. He's kind of giving me a perplexed look, but Tony, Anna Faris was a character in what classic horror movie spoof?
I believe it's Scary Movie.
I believe you are correct.
Sorry about that,
Easy Money. Call back tomorrow.
Good job, Tony.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. You haven't been as easy money as I think you were supposed to be, though, the last couple
days. Oh, don't pile on Easy Money.
I'm just saying, if you got a name like Easy Money, you got to come in, like, representing.
Yeah, that's true.
This has been hard money, it sounds like.
I love it. Gary, you're up next. How are you doing today?
What's up, Gary?
Oh, hey, we're doing okay over there. I wish you would have asked me that question about the Gatorade. I knew that one.
Oh, the Gatorade. You knew that one. All right, here we go. Question number one. And I just got to say, this is what came up at the top of the list.
Uh-oh.
And it's kind of morbid. What city was Tupac Shakur killed in?
What in the world?
Los Angeles.
Great guess. But that is incorrect.
Well, the city certainly started with an L, but it wasn't Los Angeles. It was Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Ah,
is correct. Vegas. Yes, Viva. Well, not
Viva
for Tupac.
Las Vegas.
Not for Tupac.
Thank you, Gary, for competing.
All right, thanks, Gary. Call back again later this week. Tony, you're rolling through these right now. Come on, you got
notice, though, that I've only, like, are you considering the Gatorade question a sports question? I think
that
these have been all non-sports questions.
Yeah, that's what the first couple are going to be non-sports questions. But you're doing a great job. Let's go to your fellow namesake, Anthony. Anthony, are you ready to go?
I am.
All right.
Anthony, thanks for coming on, man.
No problem.
Here we go. Gwynn versus the fans. In The Simpsons, Lisa likes to play what instrument?
The saxophone.
Ooh, you are correct. I didn't know if we were going to get that one.
Nice work,
Anthony. Anthony, easy money over here. Here we go, question number two. Here's a sports question. Steve Nash played for the Phoenix Suns two separate times. What team did he play for in the middle?
Played for... I'm going to say...
Tick, 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 tick.
The Mavericks?
You are correct. Tony put the pressure on you, and you got it. All right, here we go. Question number three for that Padres.
Make sure your phone's on airplane mode.
Yeah, he doesn't want you. He doesn't want you Googling. All right, here we go. Question number three for that Padres prize pack. Anthony, say that three times fast. Oh, I just saw this the other day. What Dallas Cowboy is the only player to ever win a Super Bowl and a gold medal?
A Super Bowl and a gold medal?
Correct.
It's a current player?
It's not.
Maybe.
I guess it could be, but that would be like the biggest sports story
ever. Oh, shoot.
Tick, 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 tick.
The guy who just, the wide receiver, what's his name?
Three, two, one. All right, stay there though, because Tony needs to get this right for you to be eliminated. Tony, what Dallas Cowboy is the only player to ever win a Super Bowl and a gold medal?
Here we are getting to a sports question, and I have no idea.
Yes. All right.
So, Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman, what Olympic event did Troy Aikman compete in?
I didn't want to leave it blank.
Okay,
so,
all right. Well, Troy Aikman is incorrect. Yes. I saw this on Monday Night Football, which is pretty incredible to win a gold medal and a Super Bowl. Bob Hayes is the answer to that question.
No, I went wrong anyways.
Yes, yes, you were.
I was not even close. I don't know who Bob Hayes is.
Neither do I, but I saw it on TV the other night, and I'm going to say it's correct. So stay on the line, Anthony. I'm going to get your information in the break. You win that Padres prize pack.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Well, good job, Tony.
Anthony was gassed up right
now.
He was.
He was very excited to win this Padres prize pack.
I like that. All right, let me get us to break. When we return, we're going to get an update on some Aztec basketball. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, will join us next. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello is out. Matt Scraby sitting in for him today as my partner and joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, updating us on some Aztec basketball is Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on today.
I'm doing all right. Enjoying this weather.
Yeah, no kidding. It's finally not blazing hot outside. It feels a lot more like San Diego moving into that fall time, and that usually means we're getting some type of basketball news, and the one thing I saw that perked my antennas up a little bit was the fact that Nathan Mensah got cleared to resume basketball activities and has been out. He's been out after being out 10 months, I think, something around there. What do you think of the expectation for him is this season?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm talking to a couple of coaches, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's great. You guys must be excited, and you know, they went 5-on-5 for the first time this week, and that was his first day back. It's kind of coincided on it. So I said, you know, well, man, is it hard for him? He hasn't played in 10 months, and is he behind? And they said, actually, no, because nobody else has played since March. So they're all kind of in the same boat. And in that way, I mean, he's been working out, so he's fit, but he just, you know, none of them have gone 5-on-5, you know, in a practice format like that. And so, in that respect, he's really not that far behind. And I think he's going to have, if he can stay healthy, he will have a big season. You know, last year, right before he went down and went out, he was really rounding into incredible shape. And anyone who saw that Utah game, that's a huge team with one big after another. San Diego State beat him by 28. And the reason they beat him by 28 was if you were to point to one person, it was Nathan Mensah. He just locked down the middle, grabbed rebounds, blocked shots. You know, controlled the paint, and he's one of those examples of just controlling the game with his size and his smarts and his athleticism and not having to score 50 points, you know, and so he was just starting to turn that corner that everyone thought he could be this kind of player, and then boom, he's out. So I think if he can pick up where he left off, he'll be a huge, huge impact for him.
Mark Ziegler here, SD, San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU fan hotline. Now, yesterday, Coach Dutcher had his press conference, and I think a lot of us were thinking about last year and how it ended and how it was really unfulfilling. Well, he said that's in the rearview mirror for him, but guys like leaders on the team like Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle say it's going to fuel them, so it's kind of a conflicting view on that whole thing. What do you think is the better mindset for this team?
You know, I think they're going to have to just move forward. I think when they get into March, maybe a little bit of that comes into play if they get back to the tournament. But, you know, this is a different team. I mean, you lose Malachi Flynn, you lose KJ Fagan, you lose Yanni Wetzel. All three played huge roles on that team, right? And you're replacing them with some new guys, you know, some veteran guys who are very good, but they're different kind of players and they're new to the system. So I think in that respect, it's really kind of a new team. I mean, yeah, you'll see some of the familiar faces, but even just like we were talking about Nathan Mensah, I mean, he didn't play the last half of the season, so he's almost a new piece. Terrell Gomez, the transfer from Northridge, new piece. Joshua Tomac from Maryland, new piece. You know, Keyshawn Johnson, who didn't play much last year, probably should play a lot this year, or at least a lot more, kind of a new piece. The freshman class, I suspect one of the three freshmen will probably break into the rotation. There's another new piece. So I think it's going to be a lot more new than it is old. And so from that standpoint, it's a new team, it's a new year, and it's such a different year that I just think you have to have the mindset of, look, let's just, you know, this is our team, and let's create our own new identity and move forward.
Mark, how difficult, you mentioned all those new pieces, how difficult under these circumstances will it be to get all on the same page? This isn't the normal way that a basketball season kind of takes place. How do you see that part kind of working itself out?
Well, it's funny because you just hit the nail on the head. That's going to be the biggest challenge. And so to give you some context, so we're in the third week of October. Okay, by now, normally, they would have already had three intra-squad scrimmages with refs on a weekend, you know, for like an hour. They would have been doing five-on-five drills, limited over the summer more than now, but they would have been doing some five-on-five work, putting in offense, putting in out-of-bounds plays, putting in sidelines out-of-bounds, putting in different types of defenses, press breaks, press offense, you know, press defense, I mean, going back to the first week of July. And so all those little hours they get, you know, 2 hours here a week or 4 hours here a week, 8 hours here a week, all those add up. And, you know, I remember going to the first, quote unquote, first day of practice, the end of September, the last few years. And I'd be sitting there and they'd start running an offensive set. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. When did they put that in? Did I miss it? And oh no, they did that, you know, a month ago. And they haven't done any of that. I mean, they just started playing 5-on-5 on Monday. So, yeah, it's going to be a real quick sort of chemistry experiment getting all these pieces put together. And I don't think people can reasonably expect this team to be a sort of a humming machine like it was early in the season last year. I just don't, you know, maybe it will be, but I just don't think you could expect that probably until January. It doesn't mean they won't be good because they're going to be veteran and talented. But the team we see in January is going to be completely different than the one we see probably in November. They have no exhibitions. They'll have some intra-squad scrimmages here, but no closed-door scrimmages against another D1 team. Can't do that. No exhibition against a D2. They won't have anything. They'll just start playing all of a sudden a month from now. So it's going to be a unique kind of deal.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU fan hotline. One of the things I found most interesting about sports during COVID is playing the games without fans. And I know California is not allowing fans for some places. I know that they put out something yesterday. It's very confusing, like everything that they put out. But when they do get to playing in San Diego at Viejas Arena, they're not going to have their fan base with them. How different is that going to be? I mean, I don't even know if they're planning on playing any games at Viejas before the year is over.
Yeah, I think they'll probably play one or two just out of convenience. But that will be it. They won't play their normal, you know, a normal preseason. You want to play, you know, as many as you can at home to kind of build up your resume and get used to it and have that advantage. You know, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is, you know, when they do all these metrics that the selection committee uses and relies on to choose a NCAA tournament field, a lot of it's predicated on where you play the game, home, road, or neutral. I think all that goes out the window this year. I don't know if a home win is as valuable or if a road win is as valuable, because I think you're going to see teams losing at home that normally wouldn't lose at home, and I think you're going to see teams winning on the road that normally wouldn't win on the road. You know, I mean, maybe the game at Boise State, you know, who's a contender for the conference title, becomes easier because you don't have 10,000 people screaming. But maybe a home game against Colorado State becomes a lot tougher that you normally sort of sleepwalk through. And, boy, you know, rely on your fans to pick you up. Maybe you don't get that pick-me-up when you fall behind by 10 in the second half and the fans aren't there trying to urge you on, and you just sort of slip away and lose the game. So I think there's going to be a little bit of that, and it's going to be a tough adjustment for, you know, I think pros are pros, and you've seen it in baseball and football. They're just, you know, they're just locked, so locked in, they don't even hear the crowd anymore. But these are kids, and they're emotional, and they feel it and see it and sense it, hear it. And so I think it's going to be harder for them.
Mark, how good or bad will the rest of the Mountain West Conference be this year?
Well, I think Boise State could be very good. They got a lot of transfers who are sitting out from places like Oregon, and they got like half of Arizona's team, it seems like, out there. A couple of nice pieces coming back. They're going to have the same issue San Diego State has in that they've got to put it all together, maybe even more so than San Diego State with all their newcomers. But they also have the advantage that they've been able to practice a lot longer because Idaho's a state that's been pretty wide open all summer. And so I'm suspecting the restrictions on practice, you know, they weren't wearing masks last week like San Diego State was still in practice. So, they're going to be a contender. I think UNLV will be better. TJ Osselberger has his, you know, he's a very much of a system coach. He's got his system kind of guy. So we'll see how that goes. But beyond that, you know, I think Nevada will be okay. I think sort of the middle of the conference will be decent and good enough that they could, you know, come in and beat you at home if you're not really on your game without fans. But I don't think it's, you know, when you look at the NCAA tournament, I think there's two NCAA tournament caliber teams, and that's San Diego State and Boise, if they can really get things together.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, joined us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And Mark, last one for me. I saw your piece on youth sports and how a lot of teams have been going to Arizona in order to play their games. I know that to be true because I've had to do it for my daughter on a few different occasions. But do you think the state is facing pressure? And I'm sure they are. But do you think they're facing pressure to get youth sports going again out this way?
You know, they are, but they're resisting it. You know, there's a lot of chatter that Tuesdays is when they release their new guidances and protocols each week. And they have a press conference with the Secretary of Health and Human Services and a big announcement that, you know, that goes on for about an hour, and they go through everything. And everyone thought tomorrow was the day. There was some chatter coming out of the governor's office that it was supposed to be the day they were going to update youth sports protocols, and there was nothing. And when he was asked about it, he just sort of said, well, we're working on it. And, you know, I don't know how much more pressure they can get. I mean, kids are rallying in front of county administration buildings. Parents are fuming. Huge dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact are leaving the state because these tournaments are they're going to Arizona. I mean, and you know, I wrote in the story, I talked to the head of Surf Cup Sports, who runs the Surf Cup and some of the other biggest youth tournaments, not only in San Diego,
in
but in the country and in the world. They didn't move to Arizona. And I said, well, why? And he said, look, they've given us two choices, go out of business or go out of state. We're going out of state. And so I don't know how much more pressure they can get. And I think some of it is tied into high school. High school is supposed to start December 12th with football, most notably starting practice. And, you know, when you tie that together with schools that many of the biggest school districts are still distance learning, San Diego Unified is predominantly almost the whole thing is shut down right now. And I just don't know how they're going to play high school sports if the teachers' unions still want to stay away. And if they can't play high school sports, how's he going to open youth club sports? And so I think they're all kind of intermingled, and it's just one big political stew and quagmire, and I don't think they've figured out a way out of it. And I think that's the biggest issue right now.
Yeah, it remains to be seen how it's got. I think the biggest, one of the tougher parts is for parents looking out at some of these other states that are open. You're like, well, why can't we be open? And then you mix the science part and you mix in the political part, and it is a quagmire, as you called it, Mark. Hey, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with myself and Scraby, and we'll catch up as this Aztec season gets rolling.
Absolutely. Enjoy your drive to Yuma and beyond. I know you know I-8 very well. You know where all the In-N-Out burgers are, because I do,
yes,
too.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU Online and Mobile Banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. And I've stopped at In-N-Out each time that I've gone up that way. I know exactly where all of them are. All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, Scraby's got a big five.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No, whatever it is, no.
Gwen and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour is brought to you by Stater Brothers Markets. Call ghosts, princesses, and superheroes. Get in the spirit and stop into Stater Brothers Markets on Halloween from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. They're giving away a free goodie bag to all kids 12 and under. See you there.
What's your neighborhood looking like right now?
You know what? It's really funny you say this. I feel like there's so much Halloween spirit because everyone is decorated for Halloween.
Good.
Is that what you're feeling?
It's kind of a mixed crowd over where I'm at. Like, it's definitely not as Halloween as it used. People in my neighborhood go all out.
Oh,
and
really?
It doesn't seem like it is quite there, and you're wondering how Halloween's going to be handled this year. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be weird, to say the least.
It's definitely going to be weird.
I saw on the Today Show this morning that they want people to get PVC pipes so that you can slide candy down the PVC pipe to the kid.
Yeah, but then do you have to, like, check the wrap? I mean, you got to disinfect the wrappers, the candy coming in down?
Yeah.
I mean, like, how does that work? Like,
what are you going to do in your household?
I don't know. I let my wife make the decision on this one. Sometimes it's better just to move out the way and then let mama do it. So
yeah,
that's what I'm going to do.
That's funny you say that, though, because I really have noticed, at least in my neighborhood, that it seems like there is so much spirit of the time of year right now. So I can't even imagine what Christmas is going to be.
I personally want to see my kids have Halloween.
Yeah.
I get it. It's tough. It's a tough thing to pull off during.
It's not looking good. Not looking good. I used to eat milk duds till the cows
milk
came home.
That's a throwback candy right there. I'm a big milk duds guy. Put them in the freezer.
Oh, whew. If my dad didn't steal them from us, we had them. We had them.
Number five.
All right, well, we talked about it yesterday. Tua Tagovailoa will be starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in 2 weeks after their bye this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, I thought, and you thought, did a great job, and he even told friend of the show and Radio.com NFL insider Armando Salguero, quote, "I was shocked by it, the benching. It definitely caught me off guard. It was a hard thing for me to hear yesterday. Just digesting the news, my heart just hurt all day," end quote. And my question comes from something my mom used to tell me all the time when I was growing up, and I'm up first. Does Ryan Fitzpatrick need to suck it up, Buttercup? And I think that he does not need to suck it up. I think in this instance, he deserves to feel like he's been slighted a little bit. I think he should be a little bit heartbroken. The Miami Dolphins, who everybody thinks is awful, they're 3-3 right now. He's got them.
I don't think everybody thinks the Miami Dolphins are awful. I think that was a little bit of your 49er fan coming out of you right there.
I have been saying since before the year, I think the Dolphins are going to be better than people give them credit for. And
you just said awful, though.
But a lot of people thought they were going to be awful. No one gave him a chance. Everybody thought Tua was going to be starting soon. But I do think that Ryan Fitzpatrick should be a little heartbroken here. Seems like he's giving his heart and soul to this team every Sunday, and it kind of just got, the rug got pulled out from underneath him. So I cry it out, Ryan. Cry it out. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan has a perfectly good reason to feel the way he does. I mean, wasn't that long ago, I think he lost his mother. So
That's true.
You know, he's talking about his heart hurts. I'm sure losing that starting spot didn't help matters at all. And he has a right to be upset about it. He's played pretty well. He hasn't been perfect, as Armando Salgueras told us yesterday, but he's been good. He's been good enough. And he's gave his team a chance to win. But ultimately, he had to know that. Sorry, just banged against my hydro flask there.
Like, what just happened?
But ultimately, he had to know that this was coming down the pipeline this year, too. Like, maybe you could have done the thing that normal teams do, is wait till the quarterback starts playing bad and then you have an excuse. But
yeah.
I like Brian Flores' plan here. It didn't matter how well Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to play, regardless. Like, how well or good. Eventually, he was going to have to take him out and put Tua in. He's deciding to do it right after a bye week where you can plan for it and give as much time to Tua as possible. So, on one hand, yes, Ryan has a right to be upset. He doesn't need to suck it up. He's played well. But on the other hand, that's what he was brought in for, was to be a placeholder, and he place held.
He sure did. He sure did. I think there's got to be
tough,
a team. There's got to be a team out there, though, that might be able to use his services for this year.
The Dallas Cowboys could use his services right now.
Every fantasy owner
no
out
disrespect,
there.
No disrespect, Mr. Dalton. I'm just saying.
I know. Andy Dalton's already been told he's not good enough before he even really got to play.
By the way, it's funny how a game can change. Because everybody was like, well, if you're not going to have your starting quarterback,
you might
Andy
as well
Dalton,
have him.
He's the one to have. And then they realize there's no offensive line and how important Dak actually is. I felt like Andy was under pressure like the moment he took his second step in a seven-step drop.
Yes, he definitely was, so. Number four. The New York Mets sale has officially been approved, or so we think. The mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, could block the sale if he sees fit. We're not going to worry about that. Because Steve Cohen, he is the presumed new owner of the Mets, and it's going to be costing him around $2.475 billion, and he is worth much more than that. So if this sale goes through, Tony, will this change the competitive level of the Mets?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't truly know the value of every owner, but it is rumored that Cohen exceeds all owners in Major League Baseball by a healthy margin.
And that makes everybody else feel inadequate.
Right. Well, you know, I think obviously you have your exceptions, right? The Dodgers have the Guggenheim group, so it's not just one billionaire. It's a couple, so they probably top, but other than that, Cohen's supposed to have pretty deep pockets. And I always find it interesting. You see how it triculates itself through the organization in different areas. It'll take a little bit of time. But listen, the Mets weren't that far off from competing without Cohen and with the previous ownership. So I think this will help matters. And it all boils down to having the right people in place to make decisions that gets you in the spot. I think the Mets will be there in a few years.
You think Brody is going to keep his job? Brody Van Wagenen, the general
manager. It seems
unlikely.
He may get a year audition, due to the fact that it's a 60-game season.
Duck.
But generally speaking, when an ownership comes in, they generally want to bring their own guy. They want to hire their own GM. I don't think it'll be any different here, but maybe Brody. I just think about this, just to put it this way. If you were the new owner coming in and you had a GM like Brody Van Wagenen who got caught on a hot mic, quote-unquote hot mic.
Yeah, quote-unquote.
Kind of dogging the commissioner, which then put the then owner of the Mets in some hot water, and then they had to kind of backtrack that. I don't know if you look good to the new ownership coming in as the guy, you know, going to be his right-hand man, basically.
Very good point. Sorry, Brody. I don't know why I like to say his name like that, but it just has to. Has to happen. For me, Steve Cohen is actually a massive Mets fan. He's been a lifelong Mets fan.
That too, yeah.
And I just think when you have a ton of money and you want a new shiny toy, you buy the Mets and you put a lot of money into it, it's going to eventually, I think, going to end up in some success, you know, getting new locker rooms or getting a new plane or something like that, making those guys feel really good about themselves.
New locker rooms and new planes have nothing to do with baseball, by the way.
Well, in my mind, it does, because they get to get dressed. They get to get dressed in a nice locker room with a Lazy Boy or something like that.
It's got a new stadium not that long ago. Their locker room's got to be pretty sweet.
2006. That is chump change over there. Come on. But yeah, I think the Mets will become better with a little bit more money put into their organization.
Number three.
After opting out of the 2020 season because of COVID concerns, Marcus Stroman is a free agent and looking for a team. He's 29 and probably looking for a long-term deal, one that will get him to the end of the second half of his career. We talked about this a little bit with Scott Miller earlier, but Stroman tweeted, quote, "Besides Cole, there's no current Yankee pitcher who will be anywhere in my league over the next 5 to 7 years. Their pitching always folds in the end. That lineup and payroll should be winning World Series left and right. Yet, they're in a drought, LOL," end quote. We know Trevor Bauer likes to sell himself basically to every single team out there, and I'm up first on this one. How do we feel about players taking to Twitter to find a new team? I think it's a little desperate. Like Scott Miller said, like the agents are well-connected, and I believe that the agents have the phone numbers of the people that they need to get a hold of to talk about a deal. And if you're Marcus Stroman, you just insulted all the current Yankees pitchers on that roster. So that never being a guy in a clubhouse, I would assume that would be a little awkward the first few days that he walks into that clubhouse after insulting them trying to get a job. So I think it's a little weak these guys are on Twitter trying to find a job, because it's not easy for people in this world to find jobs. It's relatively easy for them to find a job. So I think they need to be a little bit more careful. Tony, what do you think?
On its surface, it doesn't seem like the right thing to be doing. But I will say, I've never been a big stepper before. Marcus Stroman, he's in that group, along with Trevor Bauer, where they could wield their leverage the way they have. I can't really be mad. Nobody else has thought of this, right? These two guys are both, I believe, going to be free agents at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and have found a new way from baseball standards to let it be known, hey, and you know what they're also doing? It's not behind the scenes. Generally, a free agent happened. He talks to his agent. His agent has a list of teams that he wants to, and then they wait for phone calls or they go approach teams, right? But we never know about it until we start getting the leaked reports that come out. They're basically telling us right now, especially Stroman, because this seems serious. Trevor Bauer's almost sometimes it seems like he's trolling, you know, he's just getting it out there. This one seems like real. It seems like Marcus Stroman wants to be a Yankee. That's why he didn't do this to any other team. It's only been the Yankees.
That's
so
true.
I think this is his ploy to get the Yankees' attention. Like, hey, I can help your team. Get me on there. And he'll have to deal with whoever's salty about, you know, what he said about it when he goes into that locker room. But he's a big boy. He can handle it.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Number two.
I just want to remind everyone the Big Five is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. All right. Cool. LSU is in some trouble for not only allowing Odell Beckham Jr. in their locker room after the national championship last year, handing out quote-unquote fake money.
An adult beveraged had Beckham.
Oh, yeah, that too. He was wasted.
He was wasted.
Just throwing around money, thinking he's the greatest. I actually found it really funny, and I don't hate on him for that.
That's what intoxicated people do.
It does. Yeah, you just can't be handing out $100 bills to college athletes.
Now, maybe intoxicated people don't hand out $100 bills all
the time.
To
college athletes.
I'm just saying, those type of ideas only really pop in your head when you've had a few adult beverages.
Yes. Well, that's not the actual question. They've banned him from 2 years from the university. He's not allowed in that locker room for 2 years. But LSU was caught for some infractions here in the last couple of years. And they were reportedly self-imposing an array of penalties for various rules violations. They informed the NCAA of its self-imposed penalties earlier this month, per Sports Illustrated. The full scope of the recruiting sanctions include, quote, the elimination of 12.5% of official and unofficial visits, a 21-day reduction of the normal 168 days of allowable off-campus contacts, and a 6-week ban in communication with prospects, end quote. So, Tony, should schools be able to self-police?
No, doesn't make a whole lot of sense now, does it? I mean, it's like asking your child, hey, how long do you want to be grounded for? Like that.
A minute.
Right. I mean, you can set your own time frame on that. I don't like it. I wonder how much of this has to do with the basketball program, because remember they were in some hot water last year before all of that stuff took place. COVID took place.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Either way, the question is that you asked was, should schools be policing themselves? No.
I agree. You can't police yourself. You're always going to give yourself an out.
You're always going to be lighter, right?
Yeah.
So just imagine, this seems pretty stiff what they did to themselves here. Imagine what probably should be done then.
And I have a feeling the NCAA is going to do nothing about this. I think they're going to be like, you know what, LSU? Good for you.
I don't know if NCAA has any credibility at this point.
They probably don't. Speaking of the NCAA and possibly no credibility, the first Mountain West game between the Colorado State Rams and the New Mexico Lobos has been canceled, according to the Mountain West. They are actually canceling the game and not going to reschedule it and declare it a no contest. I laughed when I saw this. I laughed in a sad way when I saw this for the players, because it just seems like they're being yo-yoed back and forth. No, we're not going to play. We are going to play. So first, the question is, what's the point of bringing the season back to cancel games and not make them up? I don't know. I really don't know anymore. It's a little embarrassing to me that you're going to bring it back but not really have a plan to play extra games if one of them gets canceled. Look at the NFL. Look at the rest of college football around you. I mean, you have to have a plan. But these guys are just being yo-yoed, and it doesn't work for me. It does not work for me. Tony?
I disagree a little bit. I think the SEC is different. They started earlier, and they were able to kind of build the schedule where they had some flexibility. Mountain West is starting much later, and they don't have the same type of flexibility. And with already the caution around COVID-19 and how the states are handling it, you already knew going in as an athlete, you had to know going in that there was a chance that you were going to be yo-yoed, as you said, because of just the very nature of the pandemic. So, yeah, of COVID. So that's kind of with the territory. Hopefully these guys get on the field and they can do it safely and we get a chance to watch it. Because, as I said, we're all guilty of wanting to watch it.
I'm a Ram for one semester, so huge Rams fan over here.
Hope the Aztecs blow them out. All right, let's get to break. 2 hours in the can. 2 hours to go. 5 o'clock hour on the way. What are we doing? Oh, got some AJ Preller sound for you
guys.
Big
Time Baseball.
He joined John Heyman and myself on Big Time Baseball. Play for you some of the sound bites from that interview. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fair.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.